Go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. We're going to talk about getting wisdom. We've been talking about wisdom in these sessions. Last time we talked about walking in wisdom. And we shared out a book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. And Proverbs 4, 7. And let's go ahead and read that text, Proverbs 4 and verse 5. It says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. The association between what comes out of God's mouth and wisdom are one. Whatever comes out of God's mouth or God's word is wisdom. Let's go ahead and read that scripture from last week, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says in here, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law, this is his word, shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, God says, his word needs to be in your mouth in order for wisdom to operate in your life. But thou shalt meditate therein, day and night. In other words, you need to think about God's word regularly, day and night. That means you have to put God's word, anything you are thinking about, you have to ask yourself, in order to compare information come to your mind, not everything comes there. It comes directly from God. It could come from the enemy. And so you have to compare that word with God's word to see whether or not it's wise. He's going to tell you about two kinds of knowledge or two kinds of wisdom that come to you on a daily basis. Of course, there's human wisdom, which we won't consider that. We all have information. We only get them from two sources. We'll talk about that in a minute. Thou shalt meditate. Okay. You shall meditate there day and night. Then that thou shalt observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Well, everybody wants to be prosperous, and everybody wants to have success. Not everybody has prosperity, not everybody has success. And the only way to get it is to go to the Word of God, whether it's information or knowledge regarding your family or your relationships with your husband and wife. In relationships with other people, there's some people that don't use wisdom when it comes to dealing with people. That's why we have, training sessions once a month. It's a three-hour session once a month. You're all invited to come. We have between anywhere from 30, 40, and 50 people come to that training session once a month. And we eat together. We do different things together to learn. We have discussion, small discussion, group discussion. And we have small teaching, sometimes a video. We talk about people skills, learning how to deal with one another, learning how to deal with yourself. That's being introspective, and that is looking on the inside of you, seeing what's happening on the inside of you. Also looking at introspective, and that is looking at your relationship, what goes on between you and someone else. So that's important. And so let us look. Well, we all want prosperity. Proverbs 4:7, I'm reading the Good News Bible. I just read the King James. The Good News Bible in Proverbs 4:7 says, getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Whatever else you get insight. Now, there are levels of wisdom. There are levels of wisdom. And if you want to look at it, it's all about knowing something or having understanding, having knowledge. So we won't talk about the levels. I'm just talking about generally having information, the correct information that you need, and operating that information, putting it into practice in a proper way. So my position here and proposal to you this morning is to understand this as our main focus today. The key to a successful life is having wisdom. We read you a number of scriptures that kind of point out to that, prosperity, success, and having that come from God himself. Now the question is, what is wisdom? And I gave you a little bit of information last time. Let me just kind of talk about this, reiterate it. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge correctly. Like some people have knowledge, but they don't apply it to the right situation at the right time to the right people. You could have knowledge, but give people the wrong information to people, then you get into trouble. Or you tell it at the wrong time when you shouldn't. You shouldn't tell somebody they're having a birthday party for them. It's supposed to be a surprise. You just ruin something. I mean, that's just a small little level of understanding. Like, you know, this was supposed to be a surprise for somebody. And using it correctly at the proper time, it's knowing what to do when you need to do something. How many people would like to have information that you need for your relationships, and you need to tell somebody something at the right time? You don't tell somebody something very important that you want to confront them with as they're leaving the door, going outside the door, because they don't have time. And then you left them hanging all day. So, or you don't tell somebody something, during a celebration, you want to break some news to them that's bad. You let them have a good time and then tell them something that you need to. You're going to ruin things. How many people ever happened to them like that? Let me see your hand. There's about half a dozen of you. The other ones are sleeping. When they wake up, let them know. So what's the meaning of wisdom? One dictionary says wisdom is the quality or state of being wise. Knowledge of what is true and right, coupled with just judgment as to actions, discernment, and insight. Having insight of what your decision will affect you. You know, if you had information that you needed at a certain time, and you look back at your life, would you have made those decisions you've made that you're now sorry for? People have, you know, that's why you need wisdom to know. Let me just say, wisdom is all about understanding consequences. What's going to happen if I make this decision? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my children? That's why some people, if you're watching pornography, what's going to happen if something happens to you and your work, or your, what's going to happen to your wife and your relationship? What's going to happen to your children? If you're compulsively using pornography. No, we're not going to have an altar call right now. I'm just telling you that, we're not going to do that right now. But it's important to understand. Some people think, different things. I don't know if there's children's not here, but, they talk about, masturbation. You know what masturbation is? Do I have to tell you? Well, it gets quiet when you talk about that, but I'm telling you something. You have to understand, because people have compulsions and they continue to do stuff. They think that's going to end when they get married. You have to be in a whole, you're going to have to conduct your life in a way that's proper before you ever get married. Because those kind of things don't stop unless you begin to take care of it now. Pretty quiet in this. Praise be God. Okay, we're going to move on real quickly. You have to tell people things straight. And so, I want to tell you, because people get in trouble. And, there's people have trouble with that in church. And no one talks about it. They put it under the rug. Like it's, church is for talking about stuff like this. Where else are you going to talk about it? On the internet? This is where you should deal with stuff. I remember when I went to a men's conference, they talked about stuff like that. And there was a lot of repenting going on. I remember one time. Let me just give you some wisdom. And you can't always trust every minister that calls you up on altar calls. I was just a young man, and I was smoking cigarettes till going to church. And I didn't want anybody to know because I was ashamed. I was still smoking. I went to church, and I really wanted to get prayer and get some help on that. So everybody's, you know, the evangelist after the service asking, you know, if you need prayer and different ones, you know, anybody want to pray for that, this. And so he called in different ones, and he's naming different things. And so people went up. And we were on the prayer line. He's just lined us all up, and the ushers were behind us, and he was coming down the line. He asked everybody, what did they want, you know, in their ear, and then they would pray. It's not always wise to leave your mic on or to let everybody else know what you're asking for. So he's asked that one guy, you know, what he had, and he blots it out. He said, hey, everybody, this guy needs prayer for this. And it was kind of embarrassing. So I said, there's no way I'm going to tell this guy what I'm going to. So, you know, it's important. Like, you know, we need to be as ministers, and we have to understand, have insight into things so that we can deal with people wisely. Nobody wants to be exposed. It's between you and God. And if someone praying for you, it's nobody else's business. Can you say amen? One more time.
Amen.
All right, the good-hearted one, so we won't do that to you. So in the Hebrew word, the word wisdom means intelligence, insight, prudence, comprehension. And in the Greek word for that wisdom means clever, skillful intelligence, or wise. And that we see those in the course that, you know, the great word, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, everybody wants to be, have success and be prosperous in all their affairs. It says in there in Joshua 1, 8, at the end it says, and thou shalt be prosperous and have good success. This book of the law will do that for you. God told Joshua, this book of the law, my word, in other words, if you think about it, before anything else, before you're making the struggle, any kind of decision, think about that first, measure that up, and then you'll have success, you'll have, you know, prosperity in your life. One Bible version says, and you shall deal wisely in the affairs of life. So if we're going to deal wisely in our affairs, we're going to consider what God says about every issue of our lives. Everybody said, be humble.
Be humble.
And ask for help.
So
sometimes people don't ask for help. People don't ask for help because they're proud. They think, you know, I can do this myself. But we can't always do it ourselves. Smart people are humble and they ask for help so actually they end up looking smart. And if you're, you know, the Bible says stupid people make incorrect decisions. That's the Good News Bible. Wisdom is patient, but proud people rush ahead and they get into different bad situations or trouble. Never rush ahead, but be patient and understand the consequences of your actions or the decisions you're making. Solomon once asked God, and when he was overwhelmed, leading God's people, when he asked for wisdom. God did more for Solomon than what he asked for. God blessed him immensely. My pastor, Kenneth Hagin, W. Hagin, says, you know, every morning I ask for wisdom. And he let us know. So I've been asking for wisdom in every affair of my life. I said, Lord, give me wisdom. Tell me how to do this. Now, he got more than what he asked for because he asked for wisdom. Here's Ephesians 3:20, the New Living Translation, Ephesians 3:20. Now you need to be humble and ask God for help. Here's Paul talking to the church at Ephesus and giving them some wisdom. He said, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us. I mean, God is at work within every one of us. He says, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Whatever you can ask God, he'll do extra. He'll do more if you just put his word first. Consider God first. when you're making the decision, how is that going to affect other people? I remember the man who started Rhema Bible Training Center, whom we really admire very much. He says all the time, whenever I'm making a decision, I always ask myself, how is this going to affect the church? How is this going to affect my brother? How is it going to affect my sister? If it's going to affect them adversely, he said, I don't make that decision. Sometimes I have to do without certain things and let it pass. You know, so sometimes, you know, it's not proper to correct people all the time right at the spot. You might have to take somebody at the side and take them in the corner, and then you gain that friend because you gave that advice at the right time. We don't go around cracking everybody. Amen? You know, I don't have to be corrected by people that I have no association with. You have, you know, the golden rule for giving somebody information, feedback, when you're in relationship, is only when you're in relationship. We don't go around correcting people. That's not good. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Solomon was wise enough to ask for help because he was overwhelmed. He didn't know what to do. So let's go ahead and read. In verse 10, he says, give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly, for who could possibly govern this great people of yours? Let's go to verse 8. Let's start in verse 8. Solomon replied to God, you showed great and faithful love to David, my father. Now you have made me king in his place. Verse 9, O Lord, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Verse 10 again, give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly, for who could possibly govern this great people of yours? Verse 11, God said to Solomon, because your greatest desire is to help your people. Now listen to me. In verse 11, it says, you know, if we want desire, we want to help people. Our greatest desire is to help the other people around us, to be an example and to give, pass on information that's good for people. Because you have your greatest desire to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, now this is getting to selfishness. Sometimes people make decisions only because it's going to benefit them. Wisdom is about helping the other guy first. Not you. When you're doing something in this church or anywhere else, it's not about what you're going to get out of it. If you do that, then you're in the wrong. You're actually in what we call the other kind of wisdom that we're going to talk about in a moment. Because there's two kinds of wisdom you can operate on. So here it goes. He says, Solomon said, or at least he says here, your desire to help people and you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even death of your enemies, or a long life, but rather you've asked for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people. Now again, here again, it's for other people. Having information so that you can be helpful to other people. That's the law of love. Anything we do is doing for other people. The law of love, considering other people first, considering what you can do to help other people. If you're doing anything around here just because you want to get ahead in life for yourself or to show how great you are or how wonderful you are or to glorify yourself, ask for glory and whatever else, then you're in the wrong wisdom. Now, verse 12, God responds to Solomon. I will certainly give you this wisdom or the wisdom and knowledge that you requested. That's wonderful, isn't it? But I will also give you wealth and riches and fame, such as no other king has ever had before you or ever will have in the future. Hallelujah. Woo! That's what it says, and the Bible says God is able to do abundantly far beyond. Amen. And maybe you haven't had the far beyond because you've been selfish asking for stuff. And so it's putting someone else first, putting others first. Solomon shares his experience later on. He tells here, Solomon shares his insight over, let's go and read Proverbs 4, chapter 1, verse 13. Let's read Let's read a couple of verses. I'm going to read the King James and then the New Living Translation. Solomon shares his insight and experience about getting wisdom from his parents or his dad, and what it did for him and what it will do for you. This is really, Solomon writing this. This is really, when he writes this, it's really God speaking to you and me. It's really about this, this writing is really about God speaking to you and me, and the benefits of getting godly wisdom for our lives. He gets wisdom. He said wisdom is the most important key in your life. It's the key to all life. He says in here, we'll go ahead and read several verses. Proverbs 4, let's go to verse 1 to 13. Hear ye, children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. Verse 2, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Doctrine is about teaching. Verse 3, for I was my father's son, tender and only in the sight of my mother. Talking about his mom and dad so sweetly. Verse 4, he taught me also and said to me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Verse 5, get wisdom and understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee, her love, and she shall keep thee. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all that getting, get understanding. Verse 8, exalt her, she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory, she shall deliver thee. Verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of life shall be many. 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in the right paths. Verse 12, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. That's not very clear to you right now, but when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Let's go ahead and read the New Living. My children, listen to your father when your father corrects you. Pay attention to learn good judgment. Now, this is God talking to all of us about anything in our lives, about getting wisdom, getting instructions from those people that God puts in your life. We need to consider that. And get wisdom. For instance, in this city, I have a few people that I go to. I have one once a month meeting with guys that I trust, and we talk about different things in ministry, and I receive instruction from them. They do likewise with myself, and so we have this mutuality about being wise in our decisions in ministry. So we have to come. And when I make decisions in the city, I always consider what it's going to do to the other church. How's that other pastor going to feel if I make this decision here? So I usually consider that first, because God will bless me. And so it goes along, and when I make a decision, I say, what's my pastor going to think about this? So we have to consider those people God put in our lives. Like he says, my children, listen to what the father corrects you. Your father could be somebody spiritually over you who you need to have some instruction from. Verse 2, for I'm giving you good guidance. Don't run away from my instructions. For I too was once my father's son, tenderly loved as my mother's only child. My father taught me, take my words to heart. Follow my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head. She will present you with a beautiful crown. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long good life. I will teach you wisdom, ways, and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. You know, there's things today people can't go ahead because of decisions they made in the future, in the past. It's hard moving ahead if you keep making wrong decisions. It's hard carrying junk around you with embarrassment and regret and sadness and brokenness. If we would have considered God's word first, there would be no brokenness, there would be no sadness, there would be no loss. This is what he's talking about. He says, when you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. Verse 13, take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them. For they are a key to life. That's what he's talking about. Getting wisdom. Getting this wisdom in your life is going to be the key for the rest of your life in order for you to live happily ever after. That's what we want in our book. We want to write a book. And he lived happily ever after. Everybody say two kinds of wisdom. So, basically wisdom then is knowledge or information, either from God or Satan. There's only two sources you can get wisdom from. It's God above or Satan below. That's what the Bible tells us. And some people, lots of Christians, operate on satanic information and satanic wisdom. They think they're doing good, but they're making decisions that is not from God. And if you sit with some of these people, they'll tell you God told them. And you know for sure, if you're a wise person in the Lord and you know your Bible, you know right away they're not operating in godly wisdom. It's not from God what they're talking about. Amen? You know, even me as a trained professional. Now, don't try this at home. Notice, yeah. So, you know, I've counseled people for a number of years. When I was a young man, you know, in my 30s, my early 30s, 30 years old, trying to counsel someone in their 50s and 60s on marriage situations. How would you like to have that job? It's a thankless job. And so you help, you're sitting with people, and you're just a young man, you're trying to give information, they come to you for help, you're a pastor, and these guys have been married for years, longer than you probably are alive, in some cases, you know. And someone tells you, who do you think you are? You're not even old enough. You don't know anything. But let me just tell you something, they don't understand the anointing. They don't understand the position of a pastor. It's not that guy, the young man, that's giving information. It's the Word of God in that man or the Spirit in that man that comes on that person to give information to a situation that he has totally no recollection or understanding about himself. But God's giving information. I was listening to Brother Hagin one time. He said, I was a traveling teacher. And I'm just in my early 20s. I'm staying at a pastor's house. And, the pastor was a young man, and he was a traveling minister. And he said, the walls are thin. He could hear a call from someone. And someone was asking him a question. He was doing some counseling, and it was a situation that he thought, man, how in the world is this young man, this young pastor, going to answer that question? Because he's just a young man. And lo and behold, he said, I was just blown out of the way because that man said everything that he needed to say from Scripture and gave the wisest counsel to that couple. It's amazing what God will do, even if you're young. You don't have to be, an old person and wait till you get old to have wisdom. Come on now. I said, you don't have to be old and gray, wrinkly. I'll stop there. You don't have to be old to have wisdom. And you don't have to have high grades in school to have a high IQ to have wisdom. You don't have to have a university degree. There's lots of university people walking around that have no wisdom at all. And they're making, decisions that are just, you would think someone 10-year-old can make that decision. So, Two kinds of wisdom. Devilish wisdom or demonic or satanic. And James chapter 3, verse 13 and 18, King James, I'm reading here. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, that statement is saying, you know, he's saying wise people are people who know how to behave. You can see wise people. You can understand, you can see a wise person by their lifestyle, their behavior. Your behavior shows how smart you are. The way you act, you know, the way you are as a person, you can tell whether you have wisdom or not. You know, you can tell people they're having the same, they make the same decision over and over and over. You know how they say that? Somebody who never changes their perspective, or they never change their, you know, their slant on different things. They're doing the same thing, expecting the different results. And year after year, let me just tell you that one person that was that told me that 30 years ago has the same problem, only worse than when I sat with them. I'm talking to them today. They still want me to help, but never come to church. But they want my time. And still tell me what I'm doing is wrong. Come on, this is like 30 years gone by. So, if you don't change anything in your life, and if you got a problem, don't complain about things if you're not willing to change anything. Okay, so, who's a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. So it's important to see this, because wise people, they're the word conversation means, you know, a matter of lifestyle. Your lifestyle shows whether or not you're smart or you're stupid about things in life. And that's what the Bible says. It talks about stupid people in the scripture. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. He's talking about bitterness, envy, and strife. That's all talking about me, selfishness, carnality. When you're making decisions, how it's going to benefit you only. You never think about the other persons, how it's going to affect them, or how it's going to affect the church, or whatever else, you know. People, you know, leadership sometimes in this church just leave whenever they want. Not the close guys, but they just go ahead and go whatever, you know. Oh, the church will live it out. Well, you know what, if you're here and you're working on stuff, we need you. We still need you. We still need your finances throughout the summer. If you leave, you should at least, you know, still help out. This is your home church. We still have to turn on the lights. Still have to do, you know, pastors still have to be paid. Hello? You know, do you leave a vacation and don't do anything in your house? So we have to, you see how people behave. So, where there is envy and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above. So this wisdom is from above. So he talks about devilish wisdom. He says the wisdom here, what does he say out of here? Descended not from above. So if it's not from above, then it's below. Then he goes on to say the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. You know, some people you can't get around them because they're too grumpy. You can't even talk to them. They're unfriendly. They tell you by the way they look. They don't want you to ask them anything, or they don't want you to look at them. My wife and I, we were at somebody invited us over somewhere one time, and we saw this person didn't look friendly. Never asked. Never extended a hand. Never smiled. Not even one time. I ain't going to that person. I'm not going to be around that person. I'm not going to give them a chance. So I stay away. Do you? Just stay away from those people. Don't go near them. Don't smile at you. Don't look at you. Don't care about you. Even give you an impression they don't want you. So, but people that have godly wisdom, they're easily to be entreated. They're easy to go to. You can go around them. They're not going to bite your head off. They're going to all treat you with skillful wisdom. Amen? So, where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Godly wisdom is from above. It's mature wisdom. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting from verse 13 6 to 13. Let's go ahead and read. The King James Version says here, "Howbeit we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect." How many people know you can talk to people in spiritual language that are mature? So that's why when we talk to other people that are not Christian or they're baby Christians, they don't understand you. Yeah. Stop using terminology like Christianese. Talk straight to people. Don't talk about they're covered under the blood, like, you know, like that's the first time they heard of it. What are you talking about? Or casting a devil out, or, you know, different things. You have to be help people understand. Don't scare people off before you actually can help them. You know, I remember going to a church service. No one told me about it. I went to a church service, and there was one old man there. He had always had a bunch of change in his pocket, and every time the Spirit moved, you could hear him jingle. And he would shake. I mean, he would shake like a leaf. Like, you know, I don't know. At first, when I saw it, it shocked me. I didn't know whether to laugh or run out the door. I'm serious. No one told me about it. I went to a church. And of course, you know, that's why I'm very careful in this church not to always, you know, pray in tongues every time I run up here. You always hear me praying in tongues. I pray under my spirit. I don't have to exercise my, you know, spiritual muscles in front of you if I don't have to. I try to be as discreet as possible because I understand for one person, I'll do it for one person. Jesus would do that for one person, but sometimes you don't have to do that. You can just do it with the Spirit that says, you go ahead. And you know, so you have to understand there's a time and place for everything. Amen. Amen. Don't scare people. Wash your face. Comb your hair. Look straight ahead. Amen. So, howbeit we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world. That's demonic spirits, demons, devils, satanic wisdom that come to naught. They're going to come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God. We speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. You know, listen to this. He says, we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. 1 Corinthians 14 says, you know, that 14:2 says, when we speak in tongues, we speak the mysteries of God. That's why when you pray in tongues by yourself, when you're alone, you don't have to pray out loud and you know, Walmart out loud, Shakabaha, you know, and you just talk to yourself. So you pray under your tongue. Pray under your, you know, breath, you know, pray in spirit. And God will speak to you as you go along. You know, I mean, if you're in your car, you can pray out loud if you want to. And people think you're singing a good song. Right? So he said, we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:2 that when we speak in tongues, we speak mysteries, or the word is hidden truths. Information not obvious to our senses, our human senses. So the more you speak in tongues, the more wisdom you got. Brother Hagin used to always say this, I got all my major leadings in life when I spoke in tongues all night sometime. You know why you never had a major leading? He's never spoken in tongues all night. Never took the time to speak in tongues. 3 minutes is long enough for you. You ever listen to that? Paul said, guess how many wisdom he had and how much visions he had. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. He got wisdom from the inside. So, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Verse 9. Thank God for verse 10. But God had revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of man save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. See, your spirit knows things that your head doesn't know. And if you're just going by your head, you said, this couldn't fit. How could that ever happen? When you're getting information, you're doing something, you try to make a decision, your head is going to completely go against what you want to do because in the natural, it don't make sense. How could you give tithe and still pay all your bills? That's still a hard one that people don't understand yet in this church. I've seen people all their lives don't do it and still having a hard time. It's a faith thing. It's a faith thing. So we say, okay, God, I'm entrusting this to you, and I'm trusting that you can do a whole lot better than I can managing my finances. I was talking to yesterday about somebody. You know, I've known businessmen, multimillionaires, who weren't multimillionaires when they started tithing and became millionaires because they let, listen to this. I remember Brother Hagin said, he said, I didn't have two pennies to rub together, two dimes to rub together when I'm traveling all over the world, had bald tires, my car's hardly running. I still preach prosperity and success when I was in there, didn't have anything. Because I know eventually God that's going to catch up to me, God caught up to me. And when the Lord came to me one time and said to me, as he appeared to me, he said, my spirit has been trying to lead you for a long time. And if you follow my spirit, I'll make you rich. And he said, but, you know, he's done it. The word rich means, you know, having a plenty or abundance. He said, I'm not a millionaire, but I have abundance. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. And so we need to be led by the Lord. Now, you can make yourself rich too by working hard, and we know that's true. But imagine what God will do with helping you. How far off better you'd be. Amen. Thank God for his wisdom. Is this helping one or two folks? So, verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I remember listening to, Lester Summerall, an old man of God. I don't know if anybody remembered Lester Summerall. He fed the sick, he fed the poor. He'd have these big, these big planes. He'd buy these big planes and fill up with them food and send them over with grain overseas. Had Bible schools. He had so many, when other people didn't have this, he had radio stations. He had TV stations all over, several of them. He said this, other people's heads is no place to look for direction in your life. Amen. He said, other people's heads is no place to look for wisdom and direction for your life. You know what? Your opinion or other people's opinion doesn't really matter, but only God's. What he says. So there's a man over there in Job 32. There's an argument going on with Job and his three friends. And they're giving him all kinds of advice free. He wasn't paying for it, you know. You know, how many of your friends, you know, would love to give you advice and to tell you all kinds of things, to tell you things that they should be doing themselves? Amen. So these three men, Job 32:1, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled with wrath Elihu, the son of Barachiel, son of a Buzite. How would you like to be a Buzite? Of the kindred of Ram against Job was the wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God. Also, his three friends was wrath kindled because they had found no answer and yet condemned Job. Now, Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in his mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Becherel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am a young man, or I am young, and you are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not to show mine opinion. I said, they should speak, and multitude of years that should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in the man that the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do aged understand judgment. Therefore I said, hearken to me, I will also show my opinion. So wise men know when to speak. Well, if you're wise, you know when to give your opinion. Your opinion doesn't always matter, but sometimes it does when it's precipitated by the Spirit of God and you're led by the Holy Ghost in a certain situation. You know, I have to admit there's times, you know, when someone asks me questions, I have to, you know, I learn some things, but sometimes I forget because they're talking to me. I forget I'm in my pastoral role. So I give them my opinion. My opinion doesn't matter. Neither does your opinion. Or between both of us when we're talking about something. What matters is what does God have to say about it. And that's what, you know, that's what Brother Higgin taught us. He said to us, whenever you run up a certain situation in life or somebody else, ask them, what does God's Word say about it? Let's go to the Word of God. Between us, let's find it. So let's go to verse 6 in the Message Bible. We read you the King James of an interaction there between these fellows. Verse 6. I don't have my clock today. And you better get it because I could preach for a long time. Calm me down. Verse 6. This is what Elihu, son of Barachiel, the Buzite, said. I am a young man, and you are all old and experienced. That's why I kept quiet. So he was the youngest among them and held back me from joining the discussion. I kept thinking, experience will tell. Well, the longer you live, the wiser you become. But I see I was wrong. It's God's spirit in the person, the breath of the Almighty that makes wise human insight possible. The experts have no corner on wisdom. Getting old doesn't guarantee good sense. So I decided to speak up. Listen well, I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. So, it doesn't matter how old you are. You know, in certain things, you know, I don't know, some of you might have worked with older people. You know, when I worked as a young man, I was a young Christian man working among different people that were much older than me. They were so-called elder people. And I thought, these elder people, to me, don't seem like they're elder people at all. Something so obvious, you couldn't tell. They weren't operating on God's wisdom, for sure. So it doesn't matter how old you are to have wisdom. It's God's spirit in the person that makes that person wise. Your opinion doesn't matter, but only God's. Job's buddies were giving him opinions as to why he had difficulty in his life, but only God knew. People are constantly asking others for their opinion about all kinds of stuff. No matter how smart you may be or think you are, your opinion doesn't really matter. But only God's opinion. That's why God told Joshua, think about my words day and night. Then you will be prosperous and you will be successful. It's not what you think or the majority, but what God thinks about it. God requires all kinds of things. You know, okay, let me just tell you something. If you got information about something, you know, God will require you something different than somebody else over here. So you don't just take your information and give it that person. It might be right information and true information, but it might not be applied over here. Are you here? Because so you could apply, you know, truth to a situation where it shouldn't be applied at that time. God will speak to people differently and show us where we can apply different things. So we can't just take someone, what they did, and you know, apply it to your life just because they did it. Everybody is at a different level of understanding or different level in life. I mean, generally, we all have, you know, we all have, everything should be correct and right. Say, if you're working in this church, we all have general information that we should go by. And sometimes you make decisions that you have to make, you have to correct certain things and adjust certain things sometimes. Or if you're living in a home or wherever you're living, you know, there's just general information. Sometimes you have to, your operators or those above you have to you know, adjust those things as you go along. So it doesn't matter. So wisdom is from the inside. You know, we read the scripture earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, howbeit we speak the wisdom that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of the world. Listen to this. That comes to naught, but we speak the wisdom that in the mystery of God, in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. It's for us, you know, that wisdom from above that we speak out of our spirit is for our glory, our benefit. God put the Spirit in you for your benefit. Amen. So that you'll benefit from it. Okay. Let God speak to you on the inside. The Bible says in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. God is present there, right there to help you when you're in trouble. Ask God right now in your heart, you know, help me with the situation that I'm in right now. I don't know how to help myself. You know, 1 John 2:27, he says, you have the anointing in you to teach you about everything you need to know about. Inside of you. So, a wise man, according to James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18, the King James we read earlier, a wise man, you can tell a wise man by their lifestyle. How to conduct your affairs, how to conduct your life. You look around your friends. Is that how you want to live your life? If not, go on to the next place. Find somebody else that you can hang around with. Have your eyes open. The Bible says that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7, that the devil came to Eve and said, you know, listen, you know, eating this fruit will make you wise. You'll have your eyes open to know good and evil. Let me tell you something. If you sin, it'll open your eyes to certain things you never saw before. It'll give you experiences God never intended you to have. Those people who are drug addicts, if they would have seen where it would lead them, would they still have done it? We don't know. Maybe not. I would think if God showed you everything before, you wouldn't have done it. Those marriages that end, they say 50% of people in church end up in divorce. 50%, just like the world. This is what Barna says. If they would have known what would happen in their lives, would they have made that decision to get married? If you were in a relationship with someone and you got all that trouble, would you still have been with that person in the first place if you knew the consequences of being hooked up with someone? Would you still make that decision? God has put in us the ability to have wisdom so that we can see ahead of time what's going to happen, the consequences of our decision. The Bible says the devil would have never crucified Jesus if he knew what was going to happen. But he don't know everything. And it was hidden. It was a hidden wisdom. The devil could not know. When he took Jesus and crucified him, he said, "We got him now. We'll crucify him, kill him. It's God sent. You know, he's not going to be a problem for us." Listen, consider. Consider what you're doing. Genesis 3:5 says, it close with this, "For God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil, blessings and calamity." Calamity is difficult times. So we can avoid calamity and destruction and evil by applying the Word of God to our lives. Let's go ahead and stand up as we close. Father, we want to thank you today for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for the wisdom of God. Thank you that we have your word that will decide every matter to our lives. We thank you that we will be obedient to obey the leading of the Spirit. We will follow our spirits instead of our hearts. So we'll make decisions not on selfish ambition, but on humility and honesty and unselfishness. As we make decisions regarding family matters, financial issues, relationships, employment, career, spiritual questions about leadership, church, and every business area of our lives. Father, we decide right now as a church, we repent. We say, "God, I'm sorry." And you said godly sorry works good for us. That we're not sorry because it's giving us pain, but we're sorry that we hurt you, that we've disappointed you. And so, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus, forgive us, cleanse us with the blood of Jesus. Thank you that we won't be hampered because of our past issues. That none of these stupid mistakes we've made, unwise decisions we've made, will hinder our lives any further. So we look straight ahead with honesty and unselfishness as we make decisions today about certain things. That we decide that we are going to make those decisions today that will be best for everyone else, that will be pleasing to you, that we walk worthy of the Lord, as Paul said, worthy unto all pleasing in every area. So I want to thank you, dear Lord, for setting us free, that today my heart is cleansed, my heart is pure, my heart is peaceful. Thank you. You can say goodbye to the problems of the past. We thank you that these issues may come up, but we're still going to stay within the realm of the Word of God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be God forever. With every eye closed, every head bowed, we give people a chance to come to Jesus. If you're in this room, if you've been away from God, you need to get back to God. You haven't been obeying God like you should. You're letting other things crowd up the way. You know who you are. God's talked to you. God spoke to you numerous times. That it's not wise for you to do what you've been doing. God is asking you to get back to the place where you should be. If you're in this room right now, you need to get things right with God. I'm not going to ask you what it is. get out of your chair right now and come up as a sign to this people and to God that you're going to make a decision to follow Him 100% and leave the past behind. Is there somebody here like that? There's got to be somebody here like that. Who are you? Get out of your chair. I'm going to pray for you right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for dealing with every heart. We thank you for that. Let's go ahead and lift our hands and thank Him right now. Father, we thank you that we are free. Amen. We have peace in the name of Jesus. We're not condemned. We have grace and mercy. This is a new day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Those of you that are watching online, if that was you, I want to tell you right now, you're in a good place. Thank you for watching today. God's with you right there. He's everywhere all at the same time. And He'll bless you as you made that decision. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Amen. All right. Praise God. You're dismissed.